So we are starting a new series today. It's called The Temptation of Christ. And how many know that as believers, the temptation that we deal with, according to James, are due to the lust of our own flesh? How many know that? The lust of our own flesh. That's what James tells us in James 1:13 and 14. He tells us. And the reality is, Jesus Christ went to the cross so you and I didn't have to, right? How many believe that? Jesus went to the cross so you and I didn't have to, right? And how many can thank God for that? But how many know that Jesus went and did battle with Satan face to face so that you and I don't have to? My life is hid in Christ. If I'm battling Satan, I'm in Christ. It's Jesus doing the battling. How many know your life is hid in Jesus Christ? So, when Satan's in a battle, the reality is if we put on Jesus Christ, he's in a battle with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the battle belongs to me. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you trying to box with Satan and it's really God's battle? The reality, your hands are too short and your arms are too short to box with the devil. God never intended for you to get in a fight with the devil when Jesus said, I'll take him on. And so today I want to talk about this thing because it's misunderstood in relation to the application of what this is based on the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lead us not into temptation. That is misunderstood. In fact, it's so misunderstood the Catholic Church just had a referendum on it because they needed to explain that to their people. But I'm going to explain it to you from the Word of God so you'll understand what it really means. And so the temptation of Christ is something that God said, this is unfinished business. How many know that God is the author and finisher of our faith? And that God will attend to unfinished business in our lives. I got news for you. If your kids are wayward, God is the author and finisher of their faith. There's unfinished business God will have in their lives. Trust me. If you're praying for them, believing for them, standing them, you put the name of God on them, I tell you, he has unfinished business in their lives. And how many know that God has unfinished business with America? How many know that God has unfinished business with America? Then you need to come Wednesday night and pray with us for America. Ooh, that got real quiet. Okay, I'll let that go. I was watching on Fox News the other night, and they had a witch's coven in Rhode Island or New England somewhere, and they were praying against our president. They were praying against the president of the United States. My God Almighty. And the Lord quickened me, and he said, there are more people praying against President Trump than there are Christians praying for him. Woo! Jesus, help this nation. Don't complain about what you won't pray about. Don't complain about it, and I might get a little upset today, but I love this country. I love America. I love this nation. I know men that bled, fought, and died for this place. And the church is letting it slip away through its fingers. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayer and I will hear their land. That's the word of God. I'll see you here Wednesday night. Hallelujah. I love this country enough to get on my knees and pray and ask God to do a miracle. More people are praying against our president than are praying for him. More witches are praying against this country than Christians are praying for it. I was listening to a pastor, and he was talking about this nation and where we are in the grips of what we're dealing with spiritually. How many know there's a spiritual fight over America?
Yes, there is.
And he was on a plane one time, and on this plane, every city they would pass over, there was a guy, and he had a map of where they were flying over, the trajectory of the plane. And as they would fly over a city, he would go into this chanting or whatever, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm cursing every city I fly over. I'm cursing every city I fly over. I'm cursing it with a hex from the pit of hell. This is a real thing we're in, people. This is a real fight that we're in. This is a real fight that America is in. How many know when Jesus got in a fight with the devil? I'm going to tell you something. You need to understand exactly how to fight the devil. Jesus didn't fight the devil with swords or spears. He fought him with the Word of the living God.
Amen.
Everything that Jesus fought the devil with in the temptation of Christ was right out of Deuteronomy. So don't tell me Old Testament and Old Testament. Don't give me that. I'm going to tell you if you want to whip a New Testament devil, you can read out Old Testament word and whip him.
Yeah.
Jesus did.
Yeah.
He whipped the New Testament devil with Old Testament word. That's how powerful God's word is. That's how powerful God's word is. He whipped him with the word. Didn't beat him up, didn't try to punch him, didn't draw a sword out, he whipped him with the word. Say, I need to know the word of God. You need to know the word of God, folks. I'm telling you, you need to know in a battle what you need to do as a believer. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Whew. I'm on one today, so you're just going to have to get with it. How many love this country? Oh, man, praise God. Y'all love country. It's amazing to me if you go to Israel. You know everybody in Israel has to serve in the army? You know everybody in Israel has to, male, female, everybody has to serve in the army. You know in the army of God, everybody's supposed to serve? Everybody's supposed to serve in the army of God? How many know you're in an army, whether you believe it or not, you're in an army? And so God has burdened my heart to pray for this country. Intercede for this country. When I saw that on Fox News, it made me angry. That they would put that on the television and show these witches sitting around this table cursing Donald Trump. Where are the Christians sitting around the table praying for America? Hallelujah, hallelujah, God bless you, God, Jesus loves you, I love you too. But I'm telling you, on Wednesday nights, we're praying for this country. We're praying for our president. You say, Steve, won't get political. I'm not political, I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about truth. And I'll speak truth to power. You look at the platforms and you tell me what agrees with the Bible and what doesn't agree with the Bible. I'll just be honest with you. This is the word of the living God on truth about how to live.
Yeah.
And we see nations that are cursed and they were cursed. And even Israel themselves came under a curse when they lived away from God's word. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We haven't fun yet. Nobody's got up and walked out yet. Okay, they thought about it, but guess what? We'll get to the word. Matthew chapter 3. Woo! Hallelujah. It is an amazing event. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus hadn't done one miracle yet, hadn't preached one sermon, hadn't done one thing in the kingdom yet, far as bringing the New Testament church alive. And this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How many know that you are a beloved son or daughter of God?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You know you're beloved.
Yes.
You know you're beloved. You haven't done everything that God has for you. You're not where you need to be, but you're not where you used to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, verse number 1, chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus just comes out of this glorious state where he is now realized. He is enunciated by John the Baptist. When he comes down there, John 1 tells us that John the Baptist says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The last time Jesus and John had been together was when Mary had run up to her cousin Elizabeth's home, and both Jesus and John the Baptist were in the wombs of their respective mothers. They were both in the amniotic fluid of their mothers, and God knew 30 years from there they were going to be in water together, and John was going to baptize Jesus. That's why the baby leaped in her womb, because the Savior of the Lord had just walked in, even though he was in the womb of his mother Mary. And now here are John and Jesus in water again, and he says, Behold the Lamb of God! Behold the Lamb of God! Behold the Lamb of God! How did he know that was the Lamb of God? How did John the Baptist know this is the one, this is the Messiah? The Bible says that his mother and father were full of the Holy Spirit. It was all over John, and he's enunciated by John. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's authenticated by a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. in whom I'm well pleased. My goodness, enunciated by John, authenticated by a voice from heaven, God the Father Himself. And Matthew says that when He straightway went up out of all the heavens, opened the Spirit of God descending on Him like a dove. So He's enunciated by John the Baptist, authenticated by the Father, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the first thing the Holy Spirit says is, we're going to go do war with the devil.
Yeah.
You can't start the New Testament church without doing war with the devil. I got news here that to have a church that has any power, you have to have prayer. We're not just praying for President Trump. We're praying for the power of God to fall in this house.
Yes, he's there.
So He's enunciated by John, authenticated by the Father, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And He says, now we're going to war with the devil himself. God says, I have unfinished business that got messed up in the Garden of Eden, but I'm going to straighten it out right now. I'm going to straighten it out right now. How many know that God wants to straighten things out right now? You know how many understand that when God endorses you, hey, who can stand against you? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Back up, haters. This is my Son and I love Him. Back up. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into a confrontation with the devil. Woo! Hallelujah! Can you say amen? How many know that the reason the Bible says the reason that Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, was manifest to destroy the works of the evil one? How many know that the enemy has a plan for your life just like God has a plan for your life? How many believe God has a plan for your life? I guarantee you the Bible says He does. But Satan has a plan to thwart God's plan in your life. So James 1:13-14 says, let no man say when he's tempted of God. Temptations come from the lust of the flesh. How many know that? And you're drawn by the lust of the flesh and you're drawn away by that. So that's how temptations come. But Jesus hadn't sinned. So He hadn't sinned. So there was no lust of the flesh here. There was nothing. This was God saying, I'm going to battle. I'm going to go take back what got stolen in the Garden of Eden. I am going to go take back. How do you know that God is a redeemer? And that means that He buys back things that have been lost. Things that have been lost. I don't know who you are today, but somebody here today, God said, I want to tell you, those things have been lost. God's about ready to restore them. God's about ready to restore them in your life. Hallelujah. We sound like a Holy Ghost church. Amen. God said, I've got unfinished business with the devil. I praise God that He's a finisher. I praise God He's a finisher. Whatever God starts, He can finish. So He's about to finish His. And I think we need to understand the location here is real important. It's the Jordan River. The Jordan River, it's a place where the children of Israel had to go to cross over into the Promised Land. Everybody say the Promised Land. It's a land that God had promised Abraham, and it's a land the Bible said that was flowing with milk and honey, and it represented the promises of God. You know, the Bible says that all the promises of God, and yea, and our yea, and amen, in Him, Jesus Christ. God has a promised land for you. God has a promised land for you. Oh my God. God has a promised land for you. Let me tell you what the promised land is. This Sunday, both my kids are in church. Amen.
Amen.
That's a promise from God. Their spouses are in church. Amen.
Amen.
My granddaughter is in church. Amen. God has a promised land for you. God has a promised land for each and every one of us. And that's just the beginning of it. Woo! Jesus, help me today. I'm going to have to buy this tape myself. Jordan River is a place of transition. It's what God got ready to bring Moses to it, and then Moses, he didn't make it. Joshua brought him in and across the river. But the Jordan River, it's a place of transition. How many know that when you were baptized, it was a place of transition? A place of transition. My goodness. Betwixt and between. In one place, not quite yet what God wants me to be, but I'm not what I used to be. It's a place of regeneration. It's a place of bringing us into complete salvation. It's not just to take you out of Pharaoh's kingdom. God wants to bring you into His kingdom. God did not just bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to leave them dangling in the wilderness. God brought them out of the wilderness to take them into the promised land. God brought them out of the wilderness to bring them into the promised land. God has brought you out of the kingdom of darkness to bring you into the kingdom of His light, of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't bring you out to leave you in the wilderness. And the reality is, as a believer, we can have a wilderness experience and we can blame everybody for it. But the reality is, God says, I have brought you to a place that if you will and if you're willing, God says, I want to bring you into the promised land that God has for your life.
Amen.
God didn't bring us out to leave us wandering around in the wilderness. Baptism is an authentication. It's identification. So God has brought us out not to leave us. God has brought us out to bring us in. And God's plan is to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His light and of His dear Son. So Colossians 1:13-14 says, He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. How many praise God for the light you have? I think you need to understand something. And this is what I've had to understand, the Lord's had to deal with me about. When you see people and in this nation that have a mindset that now has become anti the Word of God, anti the Bible, you've got to understand, without light, without spiritual light, you live in darkness. You live in absolute darkness. There's nothing more dark than spiritual darkness in the face of the earth. So all the people I used to get mad on and listen to on TV and say, man, how the hell do they get a philosophy like that? Without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't see truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. He said, I'm the light of the world, I'm the light of men. So now instead of me getting angry when I watch the news, I just start praying for them. I just start praying for them, and so I can't watch the news without praying anymore. So God has now said, we're going to finish the business that got messed up in the Garden of Eden. How many know that things got really messed up in the Garden of Eden? Things really, really got messed up in the Garden of Eden. In Matthew 4, he says, He led him into the wilderness, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Anybody ever fasted in this room? Praise God. Anybody ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights? I honestly, in my lifetime, I only know one person that has done 40 days and 40 nights. And it's an epic event to fast that long. The longest I've ever fasted is 21 days. And I can tell you, there's times in the fast you are just ready to give up. And the Bible does not say, if you fast, it says, when you fast and pray. When you fast and pray. When you fast and pray. Okay, I'll get off that. That's not a popular subject. I know in the church, fast is a four-letter word, so I'll move on. But I'm going to tell you, for what we have in America, there needs to be fasting and prayer. If you think devil ain't after this country, you are wrong. He is after this country, 100%. And there's two places on the earth he's after, the United States and the nation of Israel. And it's interesting to me that when he fasted, let's look at the Word of God, and when he was done fasting 40 days and 40 nights, then the tempter came. Satan didn't mess with him the whole time during the fast. But at the end of the fast, when the Bible said Jesus was hungry, then the devil showed up. And when he was hungry, and then the tempter came, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. He comes and he attacks Jesus' integrity. He attacks the authenticity. I just read two, three verses up here. Beloved, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Do you think Jesus had forgot who he was in 40 days? The enemy comes and he wants to question Jesus' authenticity, his integrity, his character, who are, if thou be the Son of God. Say with me, if thou be the Son of God. Hold it. I just read it. A voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. 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 Do you see how the enemy works and tries to come against us with word? If thou be the Son. He just got enunciated as the Son of God by a voice from heaven. It's God the Father. And your Bible says it was the Father that said that. The reality is the enemy will come to see what we're hungry for. The Bible said he hungered. Satan wants to know what you're hungry for. What you're hungry for. What you're hungry for. He didn't show up till the Bible says the fast was over and Jesus hungered. Boom! He shows up. And he wants to know, I wonder what he's hungry for. I wonder what he's hungry for. You know, many times we tell the devil more about our lives by what we hunger for and what we speak and how we talk and what we go around saying. And the devil's like, you're an open book. I know exactly what you're hungry for. You tell me every day what you're hungry for. You're hungry for bitterness and hatred and strife because that's all you speak. My goodness, you understand the enemy wants to know, what are you hungry for? The reality is we know that Satan is a liar. Jesus said he's a liar. The Father is a father of lies. And he questions the authenticity of who Jesus Christ is. And we just read it read, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Everybody say well pleased.
Well pleased.
Well pleased. Well pleased. Jesus hadn't forgot who he was, but the enemy comes in and he wants to bring in and question the character of God, the question the character of God's Word. God's Word said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. That was the Word of God. And Satan's there questioning the character of God's Word. Hold it. I've heard this before. Questioning God's Word? If thou be the Son of God, didn't I just read you in chapter 3 that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased? I've heard this before somewhere. Put me back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, if thou be the Son of God. Are you the real Son of God? Questioning God's Word. The Bible says that Satan questioned God's Word in Isaiah 14. Read it in Isaiah 14 and you'll see exactly how he questioned God's Word and got kicked out of heaven. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Ooh, that Satan's quoting Scripture. Satan's quoting chapter 2. But guess what? He misquoted it. Guess what? He misquoted it. Satan will always misquote God's Word because he's a liar. God's Word is truth. The Bible says Satan is a liar. Satan cannot quote God's Word correctly. He never will. That's why if you know God's Word, Satan can't lie to you because he can't quote God's Word true because it's truth. Satan is a liar. Say it with me. Satan is a liar. So when Satan comes, he will misquote God's Word and you know, you're a liar. You are a liar. You can't even quote God's Word correctly because it's truth. And there's no truth in you. That's what the Word of God says about it. Ooh, hallelujah. Did God say? Hath God said? And he misquoted God's Word because he can't tell the truth. And the woman said, uncertain, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now she misquoted God's Word. God said, you will surely die. In the Hebrew, the word lest there means possibly. Maybe. Questioning God's integrity of His Word. My goodness, I've heard this before. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Has Satan ever tried to come to you and have you question God's Word? I'll tell you what, he'll come to you all the time. He'll come to you all the time and have you question and try to have you question God's Word. But the reality is he's a liar, so you've got to understand the tactic. If you know the Word of God, you can identify him just like that. If you know the Word of God. That's interesting to me. The Bible says that when Jesus was hungry, he showed up. What did it say in Genesis chapter 3? Hath God said, ye shall not eat? Hungry. Eat. Ye shall not eat of it. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Satan says, Eve, what are you hungry for? Eve, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for, brother or sister? Jesus said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. There's no hunger you have that will ever be filled by anything in this earth, anything from under the earth, anything from the kingdom of darkness. There is no void in your life that the enemy can fill or the world can fill. Jesus said, I have put a man-made void in each and every one of you that I and I alone can fill.
Amen.
So the void you have in there and you're wondering why it won't be filled, I got news for you. Only Christ can do it. There's nothing in this world or world system that can do it. But he goes to Eve. Did God say you shall not eat? He comes to Jesus. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? What are you hungry for? Well, we should not touch it lest we die. And the devil, what does he say? Surely, you're not going to die. And now God is dealing with unfinished business. unfinished business. How many know that the Bible says that Christ, according to 1 Corinthians, is the second Adam? Your Bible tells us and tells you that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And God said, the first Adam, he blew it. And the second Adam must come and pass the test that Adam blew. For redemption to happen, God had to have a man that could pass the test of dealing with Satan face to face and overcome his threats, his innuendo, his lies, and all that he had to offer mankind. God said, I have to find a man. In fact, Isaiah said, God looked around for somebody that would stand in the gap and he could find no one. None. And God said, that thing in the Garden of Eden, I'm not done with that. I'm going to finish. And how many know that when Jesus, after this test was over, it was going on. Salvation was under the way.
Yeah.
Salvation was coming because the second Adam passed the test that the first Adam failed. Oh my God, do you understand that? I'm telling you today, this is where your salvation starts. I praise God for the cross. I praise God for the whipping post. I praise God for the grave. I praise God for the Resurrection Sunday. But I praise God that Jesus whipped the devil when it came to a face-to-face confrontation. And he whipped him with the Word of God.
Amen.
He whipped him with the Word of God. That means you can too.
That's right.
He says the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's alive.
Amen.
You can use the Word of God just like Jesus did.
Right.
It's quick, it's powerful, it's alive. And I'm telling you, it's devil shaking and earthquaking to the enemy and to the kingdom of darkness. And all Jesus did was whip him with word. He didn't get mad and holler and scream. Didn't get emotional. He just whipped him with word. Wow. God has unfinished business in your life too. God has unfinished business in my life. The Bible says 40 days and 40 nights and the fast was over. The Bible says Jesus was hungry. Jesus had a legitimate right to eat. The fast was over. I don't know but after a fast, how many know that your appetite is ravenous?
Yeah.
Absolutely ravenous. At the end of 21 days, I'm telling you, you'll eat cardboard. If you pour hot sauce on it, you would eat it. It's that, you're that ravenous. I'm not lying there, am I? But here the enemy says, I'm going to question your authenticity. If you be the Son of God, I'm going to question your integrity. Turn these stones into bread. Turn these stones into bread. How many know that Jesus could have turned the stones into bread? And the devil says, I want to know if I can manipulate you to use your power to benefit yourself. Can I use your power to manipulate you? Hold it, hold it. Your greatest temptation is not what you do in weakness. Mm-mm. And that's not what you do in lack. It's what you do when you have power. And how you handle. In fact, there's a scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is
required.
Everybody say required.
Required.
How you manage your gifts and callings that God has given you, that's serious business with God. See, when you have no power or influence, you have little choice. You have no choice. You have, when you have little power or influence or finance, you have little choice where you stay, where you rent, where you buy, where you shop. The less power you have, the less choices you have. The more power you have, the more options you have. How many understand power gives you options?
Yes.
You want to turn these stones into bread? We'll get into the spiritual relationship of what he's talking about here. True temptation does not come when you're powerless. True temptation comes when you have power. That's why someone who is powerless, people, if they're powerless, they have to go out and get something that gives them power, like a gun. To do evil. They have to go out and get power. A man that has power goes to the bank and takes out $100. A man that has no power has to get a gun to get power to go in and get $100. You understand where I'm coming from here? Do you understand what I'm telling you? And the devil says, you have power, absolute power. What are you going to do with that power, Jesus? And believe it or not, you can't do wrong right without power. Selah. You can think about that on the way home. Okay, let me explain it to you. Hitler didn't start the final solution until he came to absolute power. But if you'll read Mein Kampf in 1923 when he wrote it, you'll find out he had the final solution plan all along. It's in the book. See, Satan is and was and always be about a power grab in your life. Satan was about a power grab in heaven. Read Isaiah chapter 14. The real test is when Saul was given the kingship of Israel and he mishandled the power and the anointing God gave him. How do you handle favor, power, and influence and opportunity? The enemy wants to get you in a place in life where you have no choice or to have you misuse choice. Jesus, you're going to use your power for the kingdom, or are you going to use your power for yourself? If you be the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. And one of the problems and one of the tendencies of being hungry is we turn things that are not natural into something that we lust after. That we lust after. Just because you desire it doesn't mean you can use it or have a right to it. I remember we had to deal with a church lady one time and she told us that God had told her that that man over there was supposed to be her husband. He was married, by the way. Do you understand the insanity of that? Manipulating the kingdom of God. Just because you can manipulate it doesn't mean you can manage it. Have you ever watched people manipulate things into a situation and then they couldn't manage? I got news for you. You can't manipulate drugs and then manage them, I promise you. Amen. You cannot do it. Amen. You try to manipulate people, eventually it will come back on you. The Bible says that stones, how many of these stones represent the church? Peter says we are lively stones. We are, say, I'm a lively stone. That's what Peter says. 1 Peter 2:5, we are lively stones, built into a spiritual house, the holy priesthood. Satan says, will you use your power to destroy the church? Do you use your power and your anointing, your gifting to destroy other people? To come against other? Oh no, Pastor, bless God, I love God. Do you gossip? Do you gossip? Mm-hmm. Do you talk about people? Do you find fault with everybody? Don't tell me what you... I'm just wanting to ask you that question today. I know you're hungry, Jesus. I want to take advantage of your condition. You know, when you're hungry, you pervert a friendship into something that it's not. Jesus, turn these stones into bread. When you're hungry, you can partake of forbidden fruit. How many understand that? It's not irony that the devil said and came to Jesus when he was hungry. It's not irony that that the devil came to Eve and said, did God say you couldn't eat? Couldn't eat? Couldn't eat? Spiritually, what is this talking about? It's talking about hunger. Say, it's talking about hunger. It's talking about hunger. It's talking about hunger. It's talking about hunger. What are you hungry for today? Because I got news for you spiritually. Whatever you're hungry for, that's what you'll seek. I've seen just anointed men of God. I have seen men of God anointed full of the Holy Ghost, and I've seen them run off with their secretaries. Don't tell me you won't go after what you seek. Don't tell me you won't go after what you're hungry for. You will! Ooh, I'm preaching better than you're reacting. It's okay, Lord. I just preach it myself. I preach it to myself. I have seen Christians go after many, many, many times what they're hungry for. And then it bite them right in the right foot. Did God say you shouldn't eat that? Hunger. What is your hunger about? Is it for pleasure? Is it for money? Is it for power? For God? The devil is interested in what you're hungry for. And that's why Jesus is hunger and thirst after me. David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that God... How many know God is good? In fact, Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Whew, that was heavy. He lost 5,000 people on that sermon. It's not about the stones, it's about the hunger. What are you hungry for today? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? I'm just asking. It's about the fleshly hunger that drives men to manipulating stone into bread. Hollywood makes a movie called Hunger Games. That's what it's about. Desire and lust. And later, lust turns into action. So I want to ask you, how do you handle what God has given you? How do you handle the gifting, the anointing? And what do you use it for? The reality is, Jesus is at the Jordan River. And this is where Moses and the Old Testament church and Joshua, they come through and God said, I'm about to take Israel into the promised land. Everybody say the promised land.
Promised
and God said, but they got to come through the River Jordan to get there. How many know that to get to the kingdom of God, you've got to come through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. And baptism is talking about regeneration and transformation. This says, I want everything that God has for me. And it is in the valley of decision many times that the enemy tries to come and mess with what we are deciding to do for God. The real test of great leadership in the church is, how do you handle power and choice? How do you handle influence? If you be the Son of God, if you be. What does Jesus say? Man, thou shalt not live by bread alone. Say with me. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He didn't fight with him. He didn't box with him. He didn't throw stones at him. He didn't pick up the stones and put them in a sling and go at him. He just said, thou shall live by the word of God. It is written. Say with me, it is written. One of the greatest powers you'll ever have as a believer is knowing what is written. What is written. That's why it's important to know the word of God. I am the bread of life. And I love what Jesus tells him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus begins to whip the devil with the word of God. It would have been amazing to watch the devil's face during this conversation. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Jesus said, I don't mean to make those stones bread. I am bread.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life. In fact, I'm not whole wheat bread. I'm not white bread. I'm not gluten-free bread. I'm not flat bread. I am the living bread that God has sent.
Amen.
He said, why does the bread need to make bread?
Right.
I am the bread of life. Gee, Satan, how stupid are you? He is bread.
Yeah.
He is, say with me, he is the bread of life. Jesus said it, not me. He is the bread of life. Maybe the reason you're hungry is because you're not eating his bread. He said, my bread is living bread. And the word there is Zoe, which means the life of God, eternal life.
Yes.
He said, my bread is alive. So you go down the store and there's what, have 55, 65 different types of bread now. There's one bread that matters, and that is Jesus Christ, for he is the bread of life. I don't need to make bread. I am bread. My goodness. In fact, I'm the living bread. That word there is the living bread. It's the same word that Jesus uses in John 10 where he says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus has come to give you the life of God. I'm not kidding you. The Bible says that God is eternal. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have the life of God. I ate the bread. I ate the living bread. Not whole wheat. Not any of that other bread. Not flat bread, corn bread. I ate the living bread of Jesus Christ. That changes everything. Devil, don't you know you're talking to bread? Make these stones bread. Come on. I would have loved to see his face. My God. I am the bread of life. I don't need to make bread. I am bread. If I don't eat something, I'll eat myself. Think about that. Make these stones bread, and you're talking to the bread of heaven. Really? You understand what I'm saying here spiritually?
Yeah.
Didn't pick up stones, didn't cast them, didn't holler at the devil, scream at the devil. Nothing. It is written. Say with me, it is written.
It is written.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word, every word, every word. In the beginning is the Word is with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. My goodness. I'm the bread and I am the Word. He said, I'm going to eat my own words because it's so good. I'm the Word. I'm the Word, I'm the bread. Devil, Can you believe how dumb the devil is on this one? Turning stones into bread. I am bread, dude. I am bread. I'm living bread. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Bread don't need to make bread. It's already bread. My goodness. You can't give me what I already am. Devil, you can't give me what I already am, and you can't trick me in trying to be something I am already. You can't trick me to take my anointing and bring it down to your level. I am bread. I am the bread of life, according to John 2. Bread don't need to make bread. I'm already bread. You can't give me what I already am, devil. You don't need me to manifest something I already have. Something I already am. I will not let the devil manipulate me to what I already am in Christ Jesus. I don't need to turn these stones into what they are not. I don't need to turn these stones into what they are not. I don't need to turn you into what you are not. I don't need to manipulate you, control you. I need to love you. Don't turn your spouse into what they are not. Don't turn Christian brothers and sisters into what they are not. Don't manipulate people. I don't need to manipulate this situation, devil. I am bread. In fact, I'm the bread and I'm the Word of God itself. What the enemy wants to do is always try to get us to manipulate and pervert who we already are in Christ Jesus. Revelation 1:6 says, He hath made us kings and priests unto God His Father. Say, I'm a king and priest unto God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about you. I'm just telling you what John the writer said Jesus Christ has done for you. You are kings and priests unto God. And one of the things Satan wants to do is talk you out of what you are. And have you pollute and pervert what God has made you to be. We are kings and priests unto God. That's what John says in Revelation. Peter says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Say, I am what the Bible says I am.
What the Bible says I am.
You don't need to get in a boxing match with the devil. Get some word in your life. Get some word in your spirit. Get some word in your heart. Then you can battle.
Amen.
But do it inside person of Jesus Christ. Baal says, my life is hid in Christ. Jesus said, the battle is mine. It's not even yours. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. It means all it means is we are people of His own possession. Titus 2:14, Christ who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Turn these into bread. I am bread. I am bread. I'm the bread of life, in fact. I am that living bread that came down from heaven. In fact, He said, your forefathers, He said, they did eat the manna, the bread that came from heaven. And He said, they had died. But He said, I am that living bread that has come down. He said, you eat of me, you will never die again.
Amen.
How many know right now you're born again? You're eternal unto God.
Amen.
You have the Zoe life of God. You have the Zoe life of God right now. You're not going to receive eternal life. You have eternal life. That's what John 3:16 tells me. At holiday season, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, I go over to the Shoal Cemetery and say hi to Mom and Dad. They're not there. They have eternal life. They have eternal life. They're not there. I just go there for me. I'm sure they're looking at heaven like, we ain't there, son. Yeah, just go home, turn the football game on. My goodness, we're not there! Jesus said, I'm living bread, I'm holy bread. And that's why when we take communion, it's representative of us partaking the holy bread of heaven. The living bread of God. That's why communion is so powerful. You're taking and partaking the living bread of God. That bread that came down from heaven. That bread that was broken for you and I. Turn these stones into bread. I love Jesus' answer. Are you serious, dude? Really? I am bread. Bread don't need to make bread. I am the bread of life. I am that living bread that came down from heaven. My goodness. And the devil gets whipped on the first one, but he don't even know it. He doesn't even know it. Have you ever seen a football game where the team was down 50 to nothing? And you wonder why they came out in the second half? Anybody know that? See, they have a mercy rule now in high school football. If you're down by 50 points at halftime, game's over. They have that mercy rule now. And so Satan, he says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. The devil take him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you be the Son of God, cast down yourself, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. If you be the Son of God, man, Satan just can't figure some things out, can he? If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. My goodness. If you be the Son of God, on the pinnacle of the temple. You know, I've heard something like that one other time. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Anybody remember, read a story in the Bible? How many know there's a story in the Bible about Jesus hanging on the cross? And what do they say? If you be the Son of God, take yourself down. Woo! I've heard this before. If you be the Son of God, take yourself down from the cross. Do you know what that means? This is really amazing. And I'll tell you next week. We're in the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to understand, yes, honor the cross. Praise God for the cross. Can you say hallelujah to the cross?
Hallelujah.
How about the whipping post? Can you say hallelujah? My God, what Jesus did at the whipping post, most men would not even have survived the whipping post. Mel Gibson got it right. They beat the stuffings out of him there. The grave. The resurrection. But I praise God it started with the temptation. And God whipped him there. He whipped him there. And what the first Adam failed, Jesus Christ came and he made it right. Jesus Christ came and said, I'm back. And I'm the second Adam, and it's game on. It's game on, devil. You got Adam, but you didn't get the second Adam. And I whipped you with word. And Adam and Eve could have whipped him with word, too. They knew it. You can whip him with word, folks. We are a word church. We are a word church. And anymore in America, nobody even wants to hear the word of God. But we are a word church. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I ask the Word of God, it would be quick, it would become alive, it would be powerful. I ask people would understand the power of knowing God's Word. For that the true test with the enemy is not getting mad, hollering, screaming, it's knowing that living Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You're going to live or die with or without the Word of God. You need to understand that spiritually. Father, I thank you that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the living Word of God. That's the living Word of God. Changes history, destiny, and eternity in our lives. If there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want every head bowed. I'm not going to miss a chance for somebody to whip the devil in this battle with the Word of God. Is there anybody here today? All hearts good, all hearts clear. Praise God. Everybody here, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, we just pray and ask right now, you anoint this word. If thou be the Son of God. Really? Turn these stones into bread? Are you kidding me? I am bread. I am the bread of life. Father, I pray your anointing on this word in Jesus' name. Amen.